Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter, and then put to music by the poet Shout Even Shy, who is also the singer and writer of that music. So, big hit, was great as a poem, and even more fabulous as our intro song. You are listening to a Team of Voices Radio sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and this is Deborah Lee. We are a poetry group, chat group, big happy family that hangs out on allpoetry.com, one of the biggest sites out there. It's free to join, so if you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab. Just look up a team of voices, and I will meet you at the door. We share the links to the poems that we use on the shows on that chat wall so that people can follow along. You could also call in to participate, help comment, just hang out by calling 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And tonight we are doing the next in our series of prompts that are art combined with quotes by our peers. And tonight, all the amazing quotes are by none other than Miss Sweet Pea, who is also a board member on A Team of Voices. And April, the next three shows will be my amazing board members. We have Sweet this week. We have AP's words to inspire you next week. And then we have my big brother Hatter's words to inspire you the week after that. So we have a little bit of a crowd going and a whole lot of poetry to get through because I'm thinking that we love my Sweet, so we should get this show on the road. Hey, Hatter, you ready for this?
Yeah. Yes.
Glad you're here. And speaking of my Sweet, here she is. Hey, Sweet, ready for this?
I am ready and humbled, and I am awed. So I will not cry through this. I will not. Yeah, I'm lying. I'm totally lying. I'm very humbled by this.
Baloney.
Can I push a button? Can I push a button?
Yes. Go ahead, say something.
Let's play in. Call her Sweet Pea. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Hatter.
That's what you were going to sing for her? I thought you were doing a little more than that. Sing it, Hatter.
Oh, no. Tommy Rowe and I are in different keys.
Great. Anyway, that was Tommy Rowe singing Oh, Sweet Pea. And quite often, Sweet will say to Hatter, sing for me, Hatter. And he does, going on today. But let's get some of the other poets in here. We have the one and only Miss Sky Darkholm on the line. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
And from a poetic slice of life, we have Stephen. And his wife sent us a sound clip. So we are in great shape. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here. Also, you said hello. And I believe right behind you just might be Rack and Tor. Rack, is that you?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Glad you're here.
What's going on?
So, you know, do you say eh?
I said, what's going on?
Oh, okay. We are getting ready to celebrate our girl Sweet. And there's some awesome poems on the board. We got a whole bunch of recordings, and we have people popping in and out. So I am going to get this show on the road. And how we usually do these, because they're so full of poetry, we will have the first poem, and then I will comment, and my Sweet will comment, and the next reader will comment. And as we normally do, I'm going to start off with Kay's poem and her recording, and then I will go to the comments, and we can get things in gear. So if you click on this multi-award-winning poem, I shall push her recording.
Scars of Ignorance Kills a Beauty by Kay. The earth shook, and stars hailed a king. Atonement for stones casted is a calling of a cleansing. Comprehension executing innocence. A jewel's lantern of the footprints to seek. Whistling winds howl through the cracks of shifty old oaks, and wood crackles and pops in the fireplace of a blushing hearth and amaranth glow. Moonlight rays outline a mirrored shadow in Cape May cobblestone. Waving to me is a half-moon crest, stencils a shoreline, wrote a story in the blistering dust of nightshine. moonstone firecrackers missed the obsidian air and horizons of Willow Creek embers, miles thundering when prejudice crucifies. Sunrise's shimmery orange glow is the warmth on the front porch of remembrance, bouncing off the translucent glass water of the lake. A sparrow disintegrates by man's hand, liquidation of pastel intersections, constellations, through acidity, hate, scorching like bees stinging, a stinger jackhammering, colonizing faith, ride the lightning. Tonight a heavy heart plays God, monkey wrench, the edges of breath, coins of garnet, brick a structure when flipped, a flower piece among wildfires of man, drowns particle board planks and eyes of bridges burned. We each owe a death. There are no exceptions. End poem.
Wow. I love the title, Scars of Ignorance Kills the Beauty. So, so, so true. Where do I go? Moonlight rays outlined a mirrored shadow in Cape May cobblestones, waving to me as Half Moon Crest stencils the shoreline and wrote a story in the blistering dust of night shine. I love, love, love that the Moon Crest stencils the shoreline. I'm sure, well, I hope everybody has at least got to see the moon at the beach once, and it does. It seems to leave its trace, its mark, and it's not really a shadow. It's the moon catching pieces of sand, and it sort of glitters, and it leaves its mark. And I love that she called it, that it, you know, it stencils the shoreline. I think that's a fabulous metaphor. And the color in the visual, sunrise, shimmery orange glow, and the warmth of the front porch of remembrance bouncing up the translucent glass water of the lake. Sparrow disintegrates by man's hand, but the front porch remembrance bouncing off the lake. I can picture Kay and Steven sitting there at the lake watching, say, the sunset or the moon rise, and the glitter that you see as it bounces off the. And I like the glass water because the glass would be, you know, very reflective, and where you don't usually get that on an ocean, you get it on that lake where it's calm and it's just like this sheet of glass and it reflects everything, the stars, the moon. So it's there's some gorgeous, gorgeous imagery through there. And again, I say it's a multi-award-winning poem. Fabulous share. Thank you so much, Kay, and thank you for the recording. And my sweet.
I got to tell you, she writes much better with my lines than I do. This is stunning. The ability to talk about, it's almost like a death in a beginning. And, you know, as we change and we grow, I love the whole Green Mile effect that in her author's notes, after I read that, I really get more of what the poem is, and I really enjoyed that, too. The mile is thundering when prejudice crucifies. That is a stunning line in there. Your ability to write and to tell a story and to tell it in such a beautiful way that sometimes people don't even understand the emotion that it's being told in. And yet they can feel it through your words. It's like they've been knocked with something they can't understand, and they'll have to read it again maybe 3 times before they truly understand the artistic intelligence that you put into your work. And you always blow me away.
Fabulous comment. And Stephen, will you comment and then tell us what you got going on and then read your poem, please?
I can do that. I like this piece a lot. There's so much imagery in here that some of it can give you the chills and some of it can make you smile. That whole bees stinging and the stinger jackhammering, that just kind of gives you a little ouch moment there, doesn't it? I get a picture of that. It's horrible. And I do like the quotes that are mixed in there, too, from my favorite movie, The Green Mile. She says, "Ride the lightning, and we each owe a death." That just kind of ties it all up. I thought that this was a great piece and a great use of Sweet Pea's quotes as well. What have we got going on? We have a poetic slice. Oh, we have to change our days. We're actually going to have a show tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do the Inklings instead of on Wednesday because we have to go to my mother's on Wednesday to celebrate her birthday. So we're going to honor our pets tomorrow because the Queen Victoria, as most people know, she has passed away, so you'll no longer hear her meowing or purring on the air. So we want to honor her by honoring our pets, and that'll be tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And the next show will be Skye's, and I'm sure that Skye would like to plug her own show when you get around to her.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And I know I said it, but very sorry for the loss.
Yes, he's a big presence. Very much.
And yours is on the board. And I forgot
and
to look to see. There you go, please.
The quote that I used was, "You stand in the shadows of night, minimizing the power of moonlight." And the picture that I chose, I felt, was a great opportunity for me to finally wrap up my Stroll Through the City series, which I've already written part one and part two, and this is part three, A Stroll Through the City. "I take my lamb out into the desert lands, moving through the shadows and waves of sand, hiding when the moon peeks down the clouds, trying to run without a sound. His gargoyle, he has ruined me. They think me mad, so now I flee. First, the thrashing of those muggers three, then the massacre of the city police. Not sure how they think that I, a single man solo and slight, could rip apart so many men and walk away so tactful and zen. Noise now penetrates my ears, sounds that waken my fulsomest fears. Thundering wings are overhead. What could he want now, I be dread? He lands in front of me and seems to grin. But I start screaming, 'Look at what you did. My life is ruined. I can't go home. Covertly, I am condemned to roam.' I start to punch him in the chest, trying to dent his muscular breast, jabbing him for all the hate's sake. Then I tardily realize my mistake. His tree trunk arm is drawn far back. My winged tormentor gives me a brawny smack, a rattling blow that should have broken my jaw, using strength he had brought up from the craw. So I lay conscious for a bit to see my headless body fall to the sandy grit. Wagging his finger to my dying eyes, clearing, he tilts his head and away he flies."
I love that you brought him to life, and especially that you brought him to life at night, because it's so perfect for that quote that you chose. There's a new power for the moonlight. And I like the humor towards the end there, where your winged tormentor gives me a brawny smack. I thought that made me giggle. But the last stanza, "So I stay conscious for a short bit to see my headless body fall to the sandy grit, wagging his finger to my dying eyes, leering his tilts, he head, and away he flies." You kind of wonder why he was so anxious to get rid of that headless body, why he came after you there. He's ruined me. They think me mad, so now I flee. I really thought this was great. And where was that other piece that could rip apart so many men and walk away so tactful and zen? You just picture this, okay, the gargoyle comes to life and he tears your head off and maybe holds it down the street or the sidewalk and knocks down a few people while he's at it. And he's all calm, cool, and collective, kind of like Wayne reads some of his dark stuff sometimes. And you're like, whoa, look how calm he sounds. So you had me going all over the place with this one. And my life's ruined. I can't go home. Covertly, I am condemned to roam. And, I mean, there was a sadness to that. So, like, this was a fabulous story, and I think that you did a brilliant job with the poem and with the art and with the comment that you chose. So, excellent stuff. Ma sweet.
I really enjoyed this, Stephen. From start to finish, I love the noise now penetrates my ears, sounds that waken my fulsome fears. Thundering wings are overhead. What could want I do now dread? I love the read. I love the verbiage and everything. I love the fact that you're just sitting there going, wait a minute, that should have broken my jaw the second before you realize, wait, it took my head. That's hilarious to me. And the fact he's waving, doing the waving finger, the finger must wave as you die. Well, you're no longer meant to roam or condemned to roam. You're just going to lay there headless. Brilliant, brilliant work. Cracked me up. Love the darkness of it. And love how you use the words to write all this and finish your series. It's a great series.
Thanks, sweetie.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I remember the other right where the gargoyles came down and saved you, but you went up for murder, too.
Right.
That's where that ended. I remember trying to talk you into making a sequel, you know, an unwilling part of how superheroes are made. I didn't ask for it, but it's got the gargoyle protecting them.
But you
killed him off. Now he's got to find his head, come back to life. The gargoyles will do it. Yeah, the gargoyles will do it.
Zombie in the
Sorry,
next but... one, maybe? Cool. Now, before, okay, the next commenter will be AP. Hello, AP. I know you're pressed for time. Let's say hi to Wayne real quick. Hey, Wayne, I hope you heard us just talking about you. It was good things. Welcome to the show.
I heard it in a fan. And that was a great point you wrote there, Stephen. I read it just a while ago. Very good job. I like to do it a whole lot. And there's some things you don't miss in life, and the gargoyle is one of them. Did a good job with this.
Awesome. And AP, will you comment for Stephen before you read us your poem?
Yes, it was a little bit of Monty Python with the head sort of falling to one side and the body just being there and waving the finger at the dying eyes. And look, it's beautifully rhymed and a lovely story and sweetly dark, I would say. Stephen, so very, very appropriate. So, Deb, I'm going dark as well. I don't have my prompt picture. It's not on the board and it's sort of gone, but the prompt picture for the record is some shadowy figure sort of stirring a set of skulls. And the quote that I've used is, I think, one of the sweet additional ones, number 11, darkness ballooned as shadows danced on walls. Yeah, I think that was one sweet put in. And just to add to the fun of this, this is the first three quarters of Amanda Gorman's The Hill We Climb, where I have used her exact same word at the end of the line, except I have reworded the poem somewhat. This is, in Washington are hills to climb, and it goes a little bit like this. Here we stand watching our representatives in shade, our loss to carry while in largesse they weighed, and we are feeding this beast in the churning and burning feels like peace, but here there is little justice. As the system is broken, we know it, the grinding mull of our skulls to show it, bones flaying in darkness and broken, their hopes unfinished. Here, absent walls, yet bulletproof screens act as one, as this place stumbles forward with a distant nod to the once pristine. The politicians read here is perfect. They stir the cauldron, striving to maximise returns with purpose, to continue those lofty institutions as being primarily white and led by a man. Those stirred and grinding bodies lay before us, the good and the willing swept aside, arms bent and askew by another, those who seek their financial advancement, not the good of all. Grey as they dance on the Potomac, it's true. But behind darkness it grew upon the minds of those who hoped. In the eyes of those who tried, they were not to be victorious, but instead stare at defeat from the grinding mole left by division. Time has long since gone to be afraid. We are stewing in the remains of what's been made. But this hill lies festering and awful by dare. This is the promise of our children inherit, and those tired faces, they stir it, while the meek and poor pay for it. What remains is a foreshadow of democracy stirring in this darkness. They have succeeded, for their priorities are delayed and shadows have overtaken trust. History once had its eyes on us, and then later the path to redemption. But now, within its inception, lies just this terrifying doubt. End point.
Awesome. And FYI, I put the picture on the chat wall for you. I didn't realize you didn't have it. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Thanks, Steph.
You know, I think I said this to you earlier. Sometimes when you sit down and you are inspired by something specific, you turn around, and by the time you're done, I'm blown away. And I imagine how awesome it would be for the person who inspired you to get to hear what you wrote. Aside from Sweet's great quote, the poet laureate, the young poet laureate that you were inspired by. And I think that the content here is in your face and in the now. And I think that you did a fabulous job, especially with the sounds that you pulled all the way down so that it is more relatable to the piece that the poet wrote. And again, it speaks perfectly to Sweet Pea's quote. And to the art, where the people are there and quite possibly bleaching out them bones there with those heads, and right about now maybe shrinking them down, and there's quite a few people on the list that would probably want to do that to some of the referenced characters in the poem. So fabulous work, and my Sweet.
Well, first off, this is brilliant. The things that are going on, and I could talk about this poem for a couple hours with you, AP, but I don't have that. But for this hill lies festering and awful by dare. This is a promise our children inherit, and those tired faces, they stir it, while the meek and poor pay for it. We're going to be paying for quite a few more years, people, if we're not paying attention. The shadows have overtaken trust. History once had its eyes on us. Then later the path to redemption, but now within it is inception, lies just this terrifying hour. And I love the double entendre with lies, because it's just loving the English language, even though spelled differently, reading it differently, but just saying it, you can, you know, are we lying it? Are we lying about it? It's just so much there. Grays, they dance on the Potomac's true. Don't mess with the Swiss. But other than that, I love this. They stir the cauldron, striving to maximize returns with purpose. Really? Whose purpose? Theirs, ours, or someone else. Like I said, I'll call me later. We'll talk. This is brilliant. Just brilliant, sir. It's like every line is something you can talk about. And the last stanza just blows me away because it's so true. What remains is a foreshadow of democracy. During in this darkness, they have succeeded so that our priorities are delayed. And shadows have overtaken trust. You know, I am a person that believes that every dark moment will turn to something spectacular. And even though we walk in the dark now, there will be light. there will be greatness again. I have no doubt about it in my mind.
Thank you, Sweat.
Awesome comment, Sweet. And Sky, you're the next reader, so will you comment for AP, please?
And so Sweet seems like there'll be light, and all I'm thinking, descent into the maelstrom. I thought this, no one even laughed at that. Okay. So, AP's laughing, I know, and it's mine. I thought this was great, and what I like about it is that it stirs emotion, it stirs thought, and it stirs conversation, and I think that's really important. And in different presentations, in poetry form, it diversifies it, and it, like I said, it creates conversation and thought, and I think that is incredibly important. I like the way that you kind of used the metaphor into and took a leap from that photo into something more serious, into something, with substance and is current and affects us every day. And, of course, and then you bring in how it will affect the future. And I thought you did an excellent job. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Great.
And Deb, I am going to disappear. So thank you and have a great show.
Thanks for interrupting the movie to call in. Appreciate it. Love and respect.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks again. Okay, cheers.
And Ms. Sky, did you want to push your upcoming event, or your show, or before or after you read?
Yes, so I had to cancel last week due to some things, we all had to cancel. And so we are still on D&D. I think we're on the Paladin. So it's on at 8 o'clock. You could write to a character. You could write to the qualities. So it is our bi-monthly D&D show. And that's on at 8. And then, of course, it is April, so we'll be descending into Tolkien. We've got the Hobbits up. So Thursday at 8. And this one I wrote to the quote, Alice Whispered into the Mystery of Wonderland's Wind by Sweet Pea. And of course, I had to, go out to Wonderland if I was going to write Sweet Pea because we have a common love for it. I took also some quotes from three different books that you'll see throughout, heavily influenced by chapters 19 and 20. In the China country, if you've only watched the movies, you won't know what I'm talking about. So you'll have to figure it out. So this is Always Tomorrow, Never Today by Sky.com. In realms of quaddling ruby, south of Emerald City and yellow brick, there is a dainty China country where platter streets and flower-painted houses built on glass frost. From a distance, pearls gleam, neath purple down thistles, canary golds, and autumn red. But where tread pocket people, ceramic cows, and makeshift trees, are tiny cracks of bone, ash, and kaolin. Just as preposterous as Alice nailing gifts to her feet, or damn day always being tomorrow or yesterday, but never today, this town of fragile mad clowns standing on heads, sprouting riddles, is indeed not at all rapturous when one finds a mirror. Shield of warble in hand, a darker edge presents itself. For in those dusty chapters, once thumbed and once lived, so to see. And when like those kind of people, one is taken from themselves, they too grow thin, like cracks perhaps, bare beneath the skin, all the prettiness of their smile on spot and soul. And, of course, I had to take it to a darker voice. So.
Awesome, Sky. From a distance, pearls gleam neath purple down thistle, canary gold and autumn reds. The visual there is outstanding. And just as preposterous as Alice mailing gifts to her feet, or jam day always being tomorrow or yesterday but never today, man, for some reason, that just seems really sad. Shield or vorpal in hand? And darker edge presents itself, for in those dusty chapters once stumbled and once lived, showed a thief. I love that. True. Little cracks perhaps bare beneath skin, all the prettiness of their smile on display. I love the ending. And the title, Always Tomorrow, Never Today. I like how you tied that in back there in the center where I already mentioned. And I swear I'll leave some lines. But where cows and makeshift trees are tiny cracks of bone, ash, and kaolin. But I like the little nod there to those ceramic cows. But pocket people. Could you imagine having someone in your pocket? Shrink them down and just tuck them in your pocket. Hatter used to always say that about Bella. He would tuck her into his pocket, so I thought that was really clever. I like where you took this. I thought you did a fantastic job with it, and it spoke well to the art and to the full and to sweet and the Alice connection there. So it was like a total package. And I like how writing for the fandom speaks to you, and you're always so inspired. And I mean, look at the length here. That's how I know that it really, really inspired you. So excellent poem. My sweet.
Well, first off, congratulations on your front page pick. Well deserved. You obviously know how much I love this. There are so many great lines in here. I love how you describe the dainty little China country as from a distance pearls gleam, these purple down thistles, canary golds and autumn reds. The mad cows are mad clowns standing on their heads, sprouting riddles. And what I got to tell you, one of my favorite lines in here, and such as there is in literature when one finds a mirror. I love that line because I think that a lot of times when we write and we write very well, it's because we are able to look into the mirror, either somewhere in our soul or somewhere in our pain or somewhere in our love. It's there. And it's just like something, and like following that through, those dusty chapters once thumbed and once lived, though a thief. And of course, their very last line, all the prettiness of their smile on display, even though that smile isn't very true to itself. It's just on display for people to see. It's what's behind that smile. That no one's really going to want to look too deeply at the sorrowfulness of what's in behind it. But I really loved how this all went. It was perfect and so sky-like. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
I can't believe
thank you. I always thought about those China people, so fragile, and they're so pretty, but they're always being cracked and being pieced together, and yet, you know, and it was one of my favorite things about, you know, little section in the little part of the book, but, you know, it was such a little tiny part, but that's what it made me think of. So thank you for getting it. I appreciate you seeing it.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Awesome. And JCA's not here, so I was hoping maybe Raconteur would comment for Sky. Mac, are you still here? Okay. I'll try to catch them next time. And anybody who's another thing, let's say hello to Liquid Damage, Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hi,
Jeff. Here.
Sorry I'm late. I fell asleep.
That's okay.
Hey, Wayne.
We're packing them in here. And just in case anyone who wasn't here when I said it at the beginning, there's a ton of poet love for Sweet here, so I'm just commenting and then having Sweet comment and then the next reader comments. And Stephen has agreed to read for JCA, so maybe you would comment as well, please.
Sure, yeah. I have never read the book, so to me it was a new area of Wonderland that you introduced me to. I, for some reason, went with the Russian nesting dolls moving around the China streets in my head when you were reading it. I also liked the rest of the Wonderland imagery, as well as a little nod to The Wizard of Oz, too, I thought I saw in there, with the Emerald City. Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Thanks, Stephen.
And Jay's is on the board.
And the quote he used is, "A crimson river of carnage flows from the mushroom of a caterpillar's home." And this is called Crow Under a Crescent Moon by JCA. The cobalt cuckoo wingstone sheen shines in the pearl-peppered crescent moon as the carmine swirl crick drips from the chalk-cracked cocoon. You set my sapphire ventricles in the oak-pressed mulch shrouded by the suffocating wintergreen forest. Sorry?
That was my fault. I apologize.
Okay, now start again. Crow Under the Crescent Moon by JCA. The cobalt cuckoo wingspan sheen shines in the pearl-peppered crescent moon as the carmine swirl crick drips from the chalk-cracked cocoon. You set my sapphire ventricles in the oak-pressed mulch shrouded by the suffocating wintergreen forest. But the leatherback corpse, your skeletal fingers left for the death, quaked in the genesis of cataract fire. The periwinkle vines were sands the rust shackles, ripping the titanium-laced shoulder from the olive-skinned bicep. Inquisitions that twisted the crown of thorns around the war-stained neck until breath swayed less in the marble skull. Folded naked on the bisque catacomb stairs, I taste the faded gunpowder lipstick that circled the horizon of your mouth. Formaldehyde pierces on the cyanide tongue. We'll taste the vengeance, not see the noon. Breaking within the ribcage, scarlet goblet of blood, shining in the pearl-peppered crescent moon. End poem.
Great read. Thank you very much. And I couldn't wait to see where Jay took this when he picked it, because he just said, I'll take The Crow. And I love that movie. So I couldn't wait. Like I said, I couldn't wait to see where he took it. And I like how we start out with, "No cobalt cuckoo wingspan sheen shines in the pearl-peppered crescent moon as the carmine swirl creek dips. I'm sorry, drips from the chalk-cracked cocoon." Bit of some tongue-twisting going on there. But the leather-backed corpse, your skeletal fingers left for the death, quaked in the genesis of cataract fire. The visuals there are kind of awesome, but also kind of creepy, you know? Inquisitions that twisted the crown of thorns around the war-stained neck until breath swayed less in the marble skull. The wording here is really, really brilliant. And then the last stanza, "Formaldehyde pierces on the cyanide tongue. We'll taste the vengeance, not see the noon. Breaking with the ribcage, scarlet goblet of blood shining in the pearl-peppered crescent moon." The visuals there, too, the goblet of blood, but it's shining in the moon. So it's just like, I've smelled formaldehyde. It's an awful smell that can take your breath away. And it's so like that last stanza there, between the thoughts of the sights and the smell, just leaves me with the thought of, ugh. So I think that this came out really cool, especially to that the Crimson River of Carnage. It was blent in really well. Jay, I think you did fantastic. We missed your voice, but I think Stephen did a brilliant reading for you, and I appreciate you writing for our suite. Let's see what she thought.
First off, oh my God, Jace, yay. The imagery on here is amazing. I mean, top-notch, beyond excellent. But the leather-backed corpse, your skeletal fingers left with death, quaked in the genesis of cardiac fire. Oh my God, what a stanza that is. Folded naked on the abyss catacomb stairs, I tasted the faded gunpowder lipstick that circled the horizon of your mouth. Tasted the faded gunpowder lipstick. Just absorb that line. The whole storyline is exciting. Keeps you on the edge of your, just on the edge of your seat. You know, the inquisitions that twisted the crown of thorns around the war-stained neck until breath swayed less in the marble skull. I cannot tell you how great these stanzas are, let alone how they all come together. I just have to say, JCA, you get me, you get me, you get me, and you did very, very well. Yeah, this is definitely something I really, truly enjoyed. Thank you.
Awesome comment, my sweet. And Hatter, you're the next reader, so will you comment for JCA, please?
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah, it was about the Spanish Inquisitions. That's where they specialized in torture devices, and that's where you had to find Sweet Pea. No, but I think that's what it was. He mentions the Inquisitions, and then he's got some description of some of the torture devices, the crown of thorns, that kind of thing. So I don't know if it was something he had planned, put in there, or if it is a reference. So really good piece, Jesse.
Awesome. And let me put yours back up, Hatter, because it got moved around a little bit. Sorry about that. I'm looking at the picture now. Okay. And come on. Here we go.
Love that picture.
There we go.
Okay, it's I believe you're my sweet pea. It goes like this. Taken for a Broadway curse, they did not think it could be worse. Written down in tongues to land, we think this one could be alien. And intertwined, there's only nine. There's over nine that's going to be replaced. Hearts and parts and little farts chasing space in case. Among the crowd, they say out loud, but never find, will she shout. I spend my time writing free in rhyme. I'm here to help the humans out. So there it is, mystery. I didn't even kiss her. I'm wrapped up in her poetry. Tell the tale and tell it well. Move over when you see there is no clue that it's really you, but I believe you're my sweet pea.
So, you know, I'm going to let somebody else have a chance to comment this time because I got to hear it read early, and I already told Hatter it was awesome, and I even told him what a kick my sweet was going to get out of it, so I'm going to go directly to her.
Oh, I totally get a kick out of that. That is one of my favorite cow pictures of the blonde beauty and hair swaying in the wind. You know, it's been 2 years since my surgery, if anybody can believe that. But I will tell you that Hatter, you were the first one to come out like less than a week after I got back and tell me a cow joke. And then you sent me a message and you go, too soon? And I was laughing so hard. And I'm like, no, it's not too soon. And between Cows with Guns and all the many other lovely poems you've mooed at me, I've got to say, yes, believe me, I am your sweet pea, and it just cracks me up, and I love all of this, especially tell the tale and tell it well. Intertwined, there's over nine that's going to be replaced, hearts and parts and little parts, tracing space in case. That's great. I love that line, those set of lines. So there it is, mister. I didn't even kiss her. I'm wrapped up in her poetry. Don't go kissing cows, Saturn. Please. You definitely have the key to my moo heart. So I love you, dude, and this has just made me giggle.
Thank you. What was for?
Awesome. Rock and Tor, can you hear me? Did you want to? Will you comment for Hatter, please? Rack, are you there? Wayne, would you comment for Hatter?
Yes, I'd be glad to. It's a wonderful, lighthearted poem. Has Hatter's rhyme scheme all the way through it. I like the turnaround that he does. I like the one standalone part where he said, hearts and parts and little parts. Oh. Did you hear me? Okay. Hearts and parts and little parts, tracing space and case. That's the mathematical. You did a great job expressing our feelings towards Sweet Pea. I smile all the way through it. Good job. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And I am going to grab my...
Is this thing working?
There you are. Hi, Rex.
Stupid phone. Oh, my God. I'm sitting here fighting with the damn screen. Sorry about that. Oh, my God.
No, that's okay.
I think we got to put the cow jokes out to pasture because Sweet Pea's probably tired of them. But I enjoyed the piece. You know, when you're gonna do it, you gotta do it like you did, and I think you did a fantastic job. Something that she, I'm sure, appreciated. And I like that you mentioned the parts and farts and all that other stuff. I mean, great rhyme, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, thank you, awesome. Thank you, Rack.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, I put mine on there, and Sweet, you know I'm really horrible at picking a comment, so I picked four, and you'll find them in quotes as I read along, and it's called "Fly On Past the Speed of Sound," which is a line from "Angels Flying Too Close to the Ground," sung by Willie Nelson. Anyway. Here we go. Black-billed magpies whistle from the juniper trees as opal clouds harmonize in iridescent blue skies, tinted with lush periwinkle and tangerine blotches till dark hues cover color and the winged choir flies. Now the whispered breeze announces the setting sun, then the magnolia moon climbs the sky, lighting night. But gray shrouds hovered then, an abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin waited on a savior with a light. After falling from graying clouds and crash landing, caught flying too close to the ground to rise again, her velvet feathers snapped from the broken wings. So we patched them up in an ivy leaf cottage on the glen. Darkness ballooned as shadows danced on walls, just as starlight pinpricked the shrouds just to glitter and stripes the green grass blades with ebony lines. Glitter dust lights the glen like a runway just for her. The bandages drop as the wings spread to fly away. She turns to lift, but hurricane wind halts goodbyes, synchronizing lightning ribbons and rattled noises from the thundered vibrations. Then the echoes rise. Flash and sobbing, she chokes on nightshade, crawling down her throat and eating all her sins. In dawn light, she flies on past the speed of sound, healed for flight in daylight as she winks and grins. Gold-beaked blackbirds and yellow canaries sing now with the song parrots and the white-throated sparrow, joining the cuckoo flock in their backyard symphonies as the crimson cardinals bathe in the birdbath below, and we wave goodbye as she flies in a goldenrod glow. End poem.
Deb, that was stunning. I mean, just absolutely stunning. The way you use my lines throughout this beautiful poem, I'm awed. I love Now the Whisper Breeds announces setting sun. The magnolia moon climbs the sky, lighting night, but gray shadows hover them. I also loved the velvet feathers snap from broken wings, so we patched them in ivy leaf cottage on the glen. Amadeus is going to start talking to you. The bandage drops as the wings spread to fly away. She turns to lift, but a hurricane wings halts goodbye. Synchronizing the intervention of Brown Lord. I mean, this is so beautiful. And I like how, you know, you take what is and she flies away in a goldenrod glow. It's just such pretty pictures and such, you know, a way to take everything that had brought someone down and you can see their pain and everything. But then they turn around and there's songs and joy and, you know, crimson cardinals. And they're flying in the happiness and in a glow. No matter what, there's always that hope. And I like how you brought that in.
Thank you, sweet. And I chose this picture on purpose, one, for the obvious, because she's a redhead, duh. But if you look inside the picture, it also says, you are not alone. It's like a little subliminal message for my sweet, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you very much. And Wayne, you're reading next. Did you want to comment for mine?
Well, yes, I'd love to.
Wayne? We're losing you here.
Wayne, I can't hear you.
Thank you.
Sure, hear me.
You were broke up really bad, but it's cool. I'll read what you write. You always write. It's not an issue. I am.
Okay.
I have yours on the board. If you would tell us the quote you chose and then read for my sweet, I'd appreciate it.
All righty. I'm reading my board. Will? I got to refresh. All right, the quote I used was, I think I used the first two lines, which was hers. You stand in the shadow of the light, minimizing the power of moonlight. That's the quote I used. And it just went by the prompt and came with a little silly poem, so here it is.
And here we go.
This is called Run, Rabbit, Run. You stand in the shadows of the night, minimizing the power of moonlight. The nighttime hours are melting away, but still fear the light of day. Midnight has long come and gone. In the darkness you do not belong. Why do you keep the same old habit, shaking like a scared rabbit? Wander the grounds in a coat of red. You should be home in your bed, not knowing which way to go. Quietly walk, going very slow. Stare into the darkened hue, no longer feel the midnight blue. See the night in the color green, hoping that you'll soon be seen. The time to act is by your side. Would have been better for you to hide. Now watch the night slowly pass,
for this night may be your last. And
damn. Now, see, that's what I mean when you have a poem that ends with the lines, now watch the night slowly pass, for this night may be your last. So, you know, it's like, okay, better look over my shoulder. But in the meantime, you just read that all calm and cool and collected, like Stephen's gargoyle. He was all zen. Well, you were just all zen. But I love the title, Run, Rabbit, Run. It's cool that you started with her quote there, and I think it's the middle stanza. Under the ground in a coat of red, you should be home in your bed, not knowing which way to go. Quietly walk, going very slow. So, like, you always bring the details, and no matter what you write, what you bring, it's always awesome. And I'm just noticing that there's not a lot of alliteration in this one, which is one of your trademarks. Mm-hmm. But still, I think it came out fantastic. Like I said, with the details and the that stellar calmness that you have going when you read a poem, I think that you did a fantastic job with the art, the quote, the read, and it's fabulous, and I appreciate you. And let me get you a comment from my suite.
Great comment.
Wing. I'll tell you what, you can nail some of my feelings and my emotions and things that I think through my poetry and my quotes. But, yeah, I mean, we often fear the things of our past, and they keep us lost in our own nightmares. And, you know, we should be home in bed, but we're out wandering in our own self-doubt and our own talk. And I thought this was powerful. I thought that, you know, we tend not to move forward. We tend to stare into the darkness and want to be seen, but are afraid if we're seeing that, you know, somebody might really see us and nobody's going to particularly care who we are. But I thought this was brilliant. And I love the time to act is by your side. Because if you don't move forward, this may be your last night. You're just going to drown in those wallows and sorrows. So it was beautifully written, full of emotion and kind of melancholy for me.
Great comment.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, my sweet. And Linda, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Wayne first, please?
Yeah, Wayne, even though there's no alliteration in this, it's got you, your sway all over it. I think it was really, really well done. And it's so kind of sad and, you know, it made me feel something, and that's a mark of a good poem. But you have some really cool lines in here. You stand in the shadows of the night, minimizing the power of moonlight. Nighttime hours are melting away, but still fear the light of day. That is really, really a cool verse. I think the whole thing is well written, and the imagery in it is quite cool. It brings out the small corners of your poem. But all in all, wonderful job. I really liked it. Thanks, Wayne.
Appreciate it, Linda. You have the sad rabbit up in the picture.
You're very welcome.
Had to be sad. Sad rabbit comment.
Awesome.
Thank
comment.
You're welcome.
And Linda, did you want to push shows before you read your poem?
Yeah, let me grab my calendar here that I got my shows in. I have one Oh, where is it? I have one coming up on the 14th at a team of voices at 10 p.m. Eastern, and one on the 21st of April at 10 p.m. Eastern. And we have a lot of fun, and I have a new sidekick. His name is Carmine. He's 91 years old, and he's having a fabulous time being on the show, and he's just wonderful. So come on by and meet Carmine. You'll love him.
I agree. He's a charm. Yeah. And your poem is on the board.
Oh, and he told me to thank you, Deb, for helping out and everything.
No problem.
Okay.
At all, and I'm thrilled he's participating.
Uh-oh. What's the matter with my poem? Oh, there it goes. This is called The Stranger Inside. The crow caws at 12 o'clock at night, or maybe it's the morning. I sit here in my stupor, but soon to be forlorning. I am an abandoned angel, lost in a sinner's grin, waiting on a savior to start my world again. I've been waiting oh so long for someone with desire to waken me from my dreams and set my world on fire. God will not forsake me, but when will he abide? Will I wait for many years to be satisfied? I sit here hallowed by his name, and so I shall obey. In solitude and patience, in these books my head has laid. With crackled pages showing age, the books of knowledge weep. But of these words they spoke to me, in my heart shall keep. My wings fettered to this outpost of dreaded sin and pain. Oh, when will I be rescued from this place that's gone insane? I chanced to look in paintings hanging on these solid walls, but all that did find me were echoes down the halls. These echoes whispered, look inside, that's where you just might find the thing that you are looking for deep inside your mind. I thought that I'd gone crazy, I'd never ever heard an echo that's enlightened to give more than just a word. But then I chanced to look inside, deep inside my head. That's where I found my savior, looking better off than dead. My savior also found me too and handed me the key. Use this lock, he said, and then you'll be set free. Epilogue. So in the lock, I put the key and opened up the locks. And all I can say right now is that this really rocks. Love you, sweet, in poem.
Love you, darling.
Oh, Linda, this is awesome. And you know, when you got to, where is it, for some reason, okay, but then I chanced to look inside, deep inside my head. That's where I found my savior looking better off than dead. And for some reason, that just made me laugh. It's like, how bad could he look if he at least looked better off than dead? So there was just something about that. I don't know. But where was that one? Okay, back up. My wings fettered to this outpost of dreaded sin and pain. Oh, when will I be rescued from this place that's gone insane? There's like such sadness there. You pull the sympathy for her as she just lays there like she's hanging on for dear life. And the surroundings, you know, she's in that cemetery, which is nighttime. And it worked so well for that abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin. I was like, wow. And it's like sometimes there's that weeping angel statue-ish tombstone, and it's like that statue tombstone came to life in this character here. The other part that struck me, God will not forsake me, but when will he abide? Will I wait for many years to be satisfied? And it's just, it oozes sympathy. It pulls me back to this abandoned angel. So I think between the photo that excuse me, the photo that you chose and the quote that you chose, and then your amazing rhyme and flow and storytelling skills as our queen of storytelling, that you really brought it all to life spectacularly, like you always do. Great share.
Thanks, Deb.
Sweet.
Yes. First off, I love the story and the rhyme. To find, you know, an angel in a funk and to have her talk to her savior in her head and have this conversation. And I do love the quote, you know, I found my savior better than dead, or, you know, that's great because, you know, he's been dead for 2,000 years plus, and I'm glad he's looking good to you. I love how you interpret just simple words and made something beautiful and meaning. Your imagery is just great. It's got humor. It's got sadness. It's got hope. I mean, there's everything in this story. It's got magic. It's got everything. And it just once again shows what an incredible poet you are, what storyteller you are. And I'm such a fan of yours, Linda. I'm just such a big fan. You just always bring something to the table that is beautiful and meaningful. And I greatly appreciate that you took a few simple words of mine and did the same thing.
Thank you, sweet. I love you, girl.
And I love you too, kid.
Right on.
Look at the tumbleweeds.
What happened to Deb?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm talking to my mute button like an idiot. And thank you, because if Racken Tour didn't say anything, I wouldn't have realized I was muted. Rack, did you want to comment?
I thought this was great. Two things that Sweet knows a lot about, the voices in her head and religion. So I think you spoke to her. you know, I mean, you know, it's a beautiful show of your faith too. You know, I tend not to talk too much about religion, but you know, when it comes through, you know, you almost can't help but acknowledge, you know, the connection. It was beautiful. It was lovely.
Thank you, Rack.
Great comment, Rackentor. Okay, so let me see. We have quite a few poems left. However, everybody in the room got to read theirs, so we'll change up how we're doing the commenting just a little, because I either have SoundClouds on the poems left, or we need a couple of readers. And then we also have a poem, a replacement poem by Silk Blackrose, and he's going to call and read for my Sweet. So what I'll do is I'll comment Sweet comments, and then I'll have somebody else comment. In the meantime, so what I'm going to do right now is, it's a rare occasion that we don't have the SoundCloud to go with it, but I'm going to put Titus's poem on the board, and I'll read for him. And thank you, Wayne. Enjoy the game. And if you guys click on Titus, I will read for him. And the quote he chose by my Sweet is, "I am the gentle scent of magnolia upon his skin." And this poem is a snip of a literary world, past tense, by Titus Llewellyn. And here we go. Imagining myself any different than I have done in the past, my derisory nature would see the magnolia fall prematurely. A tincture of what has gathered in recent years was a part of you. Happiness, for the very first time, later years I've upheld the rhyme, this time, to to disclose suffering too late. The signature form has soothed an undying urge to befit what, may I ask? A piece of me? The sound of my voice had been given to your ears. As the last impression, the leaves will in turn meet the ground to have given their last, like I had done, past tense. While each is a gem, I feel it's better that I join them. And poem. And, you know, now that I've read for him, I kind of have this sadness, like to have given their last, like I had done. While each is a gem, I feel it best that I join them. And it just feels like a goodbye instead of a see you later. Because, like, I know that, you know, there's a big job coming up and he's going to be working out and he's going to be really, really busy dazzling the job and he's not going to be able to participate as much. But I'm still holding out. I mean, we're talking a big, like, 3-year job. So I was already a little sad at the thought that we would be hearing his voice anymore. But then to have this and put that past tense in there and to leave it with I feel it best that I join them just struck me really hard. And to that I say your poems are always brilliant, Tony, but I'm still not saying goodbye, just see you later. But it was my honor to be your reader and awesome poem as always. My sweet.
You know, I've learned a lot from Titus, and I will continue to learn a lot from him. So of all the poems, this is the one that's going to make me cry. The sound of my voice has been given to your ears as a last impression of leaves. We'll turn to meet the ground. Who have given their last like I had done, past tense. While each is a gem, I know it best that I join them. He has definitely given the sound of his voice as a last impression. You know, he's applauding the happiness. He's upheld the rhyme. Yes, soothe an undying urge to defeat. What may I ask a piece of me? I think that this is what he sees in recent years was a part of you. I think there's so many great lines in here. But I think it's something that, you know, it's something we need to be happy about and be proud that we knew this man and be honored that we knew this. And, you know, if the seconds we get a little piece of him, and, you know, that's great because, you know, leaves that die in the ground become mulch and mulch becomes the fertilizers for the trees that grow bigger and stronger and bring back the leaves in the spring. So they become the beautiful trees that they are that provide shade, that provide the birds, that do so much more. So every year, every time they go to the ground and they're beautiful, they also come back and they provide so much from the tree that they were on. So to me, it's just a matter of what he's done will just return stronger, fuller, and brighter. And I just love it.
Fabulous comment, sweet. And Linda, I was going to have you comment and read the next poem for me, but if you give me just a second, I want to welcome Silk Black Rose to the show. Hey, Silk.
Hey,
how you
Silk.
Feeling today, bud? Silk?
Can you guys hear me?
I didn't realize it was still... So okay, how you
feeling? Okay, yeah, I heard you unmuted. I'm doing good.
Cool. Okay. Sit tight, and I'm just going to have Linda give a comment for Titus, please.
Yeah, you know, this is a beautiful poem by Titus, and sad in a way. But, you know, we had a magnolia tree on the parkway by our house. And when the magnolias would fall to the ground and we would see them and pick them up, it was such a sad thing because they're such a beautiful flower. And they don't look like they should have fallen off the tree yet. And it's interesting that magnolias grow on trees because a tree flower is very special, and they blanket the ground when they start falling with their beautiful plumage and petals and just the feel of them is cool. But when he says the magnolias fall prematurely, that's a sad thing because they should be on the tree, and his this is like him saying, see you later, not going to be around for a while, but listen to what I have said. And we do, Titus, we listen well to what you have said, and your voice is an amazing thing to listen to, and your poetry is amazing to listen to, as is this one. And the sound of my voice had been given to you ears as a last impression that leaves will in turn meet the ground. To have given their last like I had done, past tense, while each is a gem, I feel it best that I join them. And you know, your poetry is in a group of its own, and we love it, and we love you, Titus, so thank you for sharing this.
Awesome comment. And if you wouldn't mind reading the next poem, I'd appreciate it.
Right. This is Ashes of the Abandoned Angel by Jenny Hunt, 2017. Gloomy, smoky gray leaves fall from the deathly cursed hollow tree, surrounding an abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin. She bowed down on her bleeding knees and waited on a savior that never came. The smell of rotting death enters her nose, crawling down her throat and eating all her sins. Our titanium-toned, tightly twisted tree branches, planting seeds of her deliciously dark demons, they sprawl out, making her famished. Demented dark angels ravaged by these dark demons, her haunted spirit now released, floating now across the tormented sky, her leaf-shaped ashes sway gingerly. Entangled with the roots, her ashes sink, buried into the ground. To this day, on each eve of the blood moon, her sleeping spirit suddenly and forever blooms. In poem.
Great read. Thank you so much. Yeah. I love the title Ashes of the Abandoned Angel, which of course takes us back to Sweet's quote, and her descriptions. Gloomy, smoky gray leaves fall from the deathly cursed hollow tree surrounding an abandoned angel lost in a sinner's grin. It's been a popular phrase, quote by Sweet, but it's gone in so many different directions. She bowed, continuing with that stanza, she bowed down on her bleeding knees and waited on the savior that never came. The thought of her being on her knees bleeding is like she's been waiting so long for this savior that never came, and it's so sad. The second to the last stanza, demented dark angel ravaged by these dark demons, her haunted spirit now released. There's the feel of mercy or maybe a lack thereof, ravaged by the demons, and you wonder about her spirit as it's released, floating now across the tormenting sky. Her leaf-shaped ashes sway gingerly. It's a powerhouse of emotion, but at least at the end there, especially the last line, her sleeping spirit suddenly and forever blooms. So it's another one. I find it interesting that it pulled her in the same direction where you brought in the doom and the gloom and the darkness, but you just felt this need to turn it around and give it hope, at like a happy ending type of thing. I think she did an excellent job of it. And thank you for writing and sending it in, Joni. Appreciate it. And am I sweet?
Oh, wow. I think this is brilliant. I really do. I love the imagery. I love the storytelling aspect of it. She's got some great, like, almost like smell of rotting earth crawling down her throat. Oh, you know, planting the seeds of those viciously dark demons. They sprawl out, making her famished. I mean, I can't, I'm just awed by it. Entangling with the roots, the passive things buried into the ground. This day, on each eve of the blood moon, her sleeping spirit suddenly and forever blooms. It's like so beautiful at the end. You know, she's got all this darkness about her and, you know, death and gloomy smoke gray and surrounded and all of this and the bowing on bleeding knees as she waits for her savior. And yet, it can still bloom. And that's just so striking, from the darkness to this bright, blooming individual. You know, I thought it was great. Just beautiful.
Awesome. Comment? And Hatter, do you want to give a comment, please?
Had her sleep. Had her wake up.
Had her stop talking on the mute button.
Ooh.
Maybe he fell asleep like I did.
Unmuted.
There he is.
That worked.
I stepped out of the room for a second. If I...
He was outstanding in his field.
Looking for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stepped out just for a minute. I came to head right back, and they still heard you guys call it by name.
So, Hatter, you can't comment on the poem because you didn't hear it.
Pretty much. Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's okay.
No worries.
That's all right.
Sorry to disappear.
Sorry.
I had to slip into the green room. I was gone
because he wasn't in the room.
I got out of the room for a minute.
And I don't know who's in the room.
Okay, well, how about if we just have Linda comment? She read, please.
Okay. Yeah, you know, this girl is slowly becoming, or quickly becoming, a favorite of mine. She's fairly new, and to hear her tell it is not really a into the poetry knowledge, but I think she does a fabulous job. And this poem, I mean, the death of an angel is a sad, sad thing, but she wrote it in such a beautiful way that it's kind of cool. There's lines in here that are so remarkable, like demented dark angel ravaged by these dark demons, her haunted spirit now released, floating now across the tormenting sky, for leaf-shaped ashes sway gingerly. I mean, she's got such a way of wording things that it's so pretty. And I have to tell you, Jenny, if you think that you're not up to poetic standards, you have surpassed them, my friend. Your poetry is beautiful, so thank you for sharing it.
We have poetic standards. I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Great comment. And Silk, will you comment while I get your poem for the board?
Yeah, sure thing. And forgive my background noise. There's a TV kind of loud by me. I can't really do much about it. But no, I really dug this too. And and this person is in one of my other groups. And Jenny here, I've read a few of her things. I'm really digging it. And I have one of my really good friends on here is really good friends with her and really loves her stuff too. And I can see why. This is a wonderful piece of gothic and dark poetry, and I love that upbeat at the end. Her sleeping spirit suddenly and forever blooms, and the vision or the images she wove here, like taking the quote there of the second stanza, the smell of rotting death enters her nose, crawling down her throat and eating all her sins. Our titanium tones, tightly twisted tree branches, and that was awesome alliteration there. Planting seeds of her deliciously dark demons, they sprawl out, making her famished. I really dug it. Great free verse.
Great comment. Thank you, Silk. And yours is on the board.
Okay, here we go. This is just lined it up. I love that image. And this is actually, I'd say, for a lot of Sweet's quotes there. I didn't list them all because I probably would have listed half of them. Here we go. Eldritch flesh. Will you swallow the dust of my dying stars while I drink the dew of your nightshade lips? Imprint your phantasm onto these aching bones as I weave pieces of my immortality into the warp and weft of your spirit. If bid thee I, my love, share thy flesh with me in the bonds of undeath, would you smile as I murder you with a kiss? Dance with me, O devil queen, through the dark and twisted passages of this tangled purgatory. Be it our passion rise to scorch the ebon skies and flowing flames of calligraphy, blasphemous sigils sealing the dawn of this world's demise. And would you lay with me among the graves, blazing in Luna's eldritch light, malicious creatures of hedonistic heresy, hunting the malevolent mists of midnight. In peace.
Wow. Where do I start? Let's see. Okay, for one, I agree with you that I really expected you to choose this art because it just seemed like you. And you really, really nailed this here. Will you swallow the dust of my dying stars while I drink the dew of your nightshade lips? What a question. Beautiful wording. I bid thee, I, my love, share thy flesh with me in the bonds of undeath. Would you smile as I murder you with a kiss? It's like, my goodness. I remember when you first started to write the dark poems, Silk, and not that they weren't great then, but you have turned into such a master with the way you bring a story together, and here's a shout out for Rat Free, like the way you kicked my butt in the Tournament of Champions, you...
I would say it was close, though. I wouldn't say kick butt. I think just squeak by, really.
No. That the one, that poem that you beat me with, Silk, was amazing. And it was way out of your, your wheel well, or whatever, however that phrase goes.
I went all, like, light and fluffy. And
Yeah. But yet you, it was amazing. But back to this, the fabulous, fabulous poem,
you.
And you are definitely a king of the, what is it, a king of the macabre. I think that sounds pretty cool. But seriously, you're an excellent poet, and it shows here, and it shows in that one that you're saving for another night, too. But we'll leave that there for the moment.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't quite thinking about the rules last night when I wrote that one.
I was laughing at you. I'm like, really? Come on. Anyway, to this brilliant
It was my day off, and I had a little bit to drink, too, and so I was a little...
just a little, huh? Anyway, let me get a comment for you from Sweet. Great share.
I'm not sure this is... not as hot as the other one, just FYI. Basically, my quote is, damn, heavy breathing, damn, and wow. What imagery. I love your dark and twisted. Silk, you're a genius. I've been reading your stuff for a while, and you really have gone from a poet of, the dark and macabre, to a poet that can really write anything. You have a very good grasp of language and your talent of telling stories, whether they be, white and fluffy or dark and dense. It's just come in it so far. Since you've surpassed anything I can write. And I think that, you're going to be, long after we're all dead and gone, you're going to be up there and somebody's going to be studying your work, because you're just genius. You can make, I can't say that on air, but anyway.
You can always PM me.
I will. But I love, while I drink the dew of your nightshade lips, I bid thee, my love. Would you smile as I murder you with a kiss? I mean, these lines in here are just crazy. In flowing flames of calligraphy. I'm just so jealous of all of this. I really am. But, all I can say is damn, heavy breathing, damn, and wow. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sweet. And I thought you'd sell yourself short. You're an amazing writer yourself. So. And you write amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Love those moments. And you got to love damn, heavy breathing, damn, wow.
Yeah, I'll definitely take that. Thank you.
And Wayne, are you back?
Wayne.
Okay. He was going to check out the game. It's cool. Raconteur, will you comment for Silk before I put the next poem on?
I want to say if Sweet's heavy, is breathing heavy, it's because her cow valve is failing, but I guess we could give writing a little credit there too, Silky. You definitely have a way with the women, and even though you're writing for one, you've got a way of also, getting a cue and at the same time. It was lovely. You're used to the language and setting a scene and everything. You're very masterful at it, and this is no different.
you know, whatever the subject, like Deb said, you could probably write anything but a good check.
Thank you, Rick.
And Deb's on the mute button again.
I am. Damn. Thank you, Rick. I'm here's where we're at. I just put the poem for Heavenly Angel on the board, and I'll read that, and then that'll just leave us three recordings, and we will have completed our love fest for the moment for our suite. So click on that, please, and I'll read. And this is called Live Your Life by Heavenly Angel, written to Opal Clouds Harmonize in Iridescent Blue Skies. And to gather around and help me remember what I don't want to forget, the smell of grass after the rain, the surprise of a firefly in the backyard. Here we go. Live your life. Death comes to each of us eventually. The mind is tempted to fill with terror, stirred to stray onto paths of dread, and to think self voiceless. Until death issues its call. To stop living before the last breath is taken in tragic. Draw in strength. Draw in light. Expel the darkness in your mind. Learn to breathe life in. Exhale the darkness, the doubts, the fears. Appreciate opal clouds harmonizing in iridescent blue skies and the smell of grass after the rain, the sound of laughter. You only live once. Make it count. End poem. I really like where she took this one. She's, you know, yes, death's going to come, but are you really going to sit there in fear and wait for it? Or are you going to live and dance and laugh and breathe in every moment and down to that appreciating just the iridescent blue skies? That sort of gives you make sure to stop and smell the flowers vibe or the grass after the rain. So I like this is another one where, you know, it's admitting that the dark is out there, but it's more dark if you're looking for it, versus just grabbing everything you can out of it and making it count. So I thought that this was an awesome brevity. And as usual, it was my honor to be the reader. Angel, thanks for always supporting the show. Appreciate it very much. And my sweet.
As always, Angel is my angel. She always has a way of bringing this inner peace to me. Whether she's talking about love or she's talking about literally clouds or people that need love or anything like that. And she does it here very well. Learn to breathe life in, excel the darkness, the doubts, the fears. That's something that, you know, I haven't excelled in a while. Life's been really crazy for me. And I've had a lot of death around me lately. And definitely time for me to excel. Don't know if I'm quite there yet, but something like this really helps. Because you have to remember the smell of grass after the rain and the sound of laughter. Because there's a lot of people in my life that are gone, but they wouldn't want me to be wallowing. Because you only live once, make it count. So I really appreciate this angel.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I agree, my sweet. It's a well overdue for you to get to exhale. Let's see. Linda, will you comment for Angel, please?
Sure. This was a very pretty poem. It's just all around beautiful. I just, you know, The content of this poem is such it's something that everybody should know, But we don't. We don't stop to think, and we don't stop to exhale. We're so wound up in life itself that we forget that, you know, there's things that are beautiful out there, and appreciate opal clouds harmonizing in iridescent blue skies. I know that's one of your quotes, sweet, and it's beautiful. The smell of grass after the rain, the sound of laughter, are amazing things to think about. And how do we do that, especially at times of dying? You know, we need to stop and exhale and remember those things. So I think this was beautifully written. Heavenly Angel is a wonderful writer, and she did well with this one. So thank you, Heavenly Angel, for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And I put the last three links on the board. As I said, each of those have a recording, and you'll notice that the middle one is from Gerald. He's back from an amazing adventure, and I'm thrilled that he's back. But in the meantime, please click on the poem that Pee Wee sent in, and I'm not sure if he listed the quote, but let's hear what he sent in for tonight. Here we go.
Death descends.
Lo, in the wake of my coming, and before you now, in this very courtyard, and on the 232nd cycle of man, I present to His Eminence, the only Lord.
Voice booming from the belly of the Harbinger, sent always ahead to scout out and plan, next planet suitable for eradication, target. Skies turned ominous. He raised his hand, screaming top of his lungs over the crescendoing din.
Lost mediocrity, waiting on the Savior. Witness my sinner's grin. I present Lord Death. Behold, last face you'll see.
Sky broke in tumultuous cascades of spiraling electricity. And vacuums that swirl and dance. Tornadoes loosed, black holes, tides now rising, death's entrance now thrust upon the inhabitants. Out of the midst of the chaos reigning the skies, lone pale horse descends. On its back, the regal countenance, eternal lord of death, as he glides toward the planet below, behind calms of sky lethal. Rider of doom, death, demise isn't as you'd expect. Doesn't wield an infamous scythe, don a black robe. He has an air of distinction, commanding respect, as you'd imagine Napoleon as he conquered the globe. Accents of radiant yellow sunflower petals around skull didn't lessen the gut-wrenching, blood-curdling fear upon seeing his ominous opulence. Sound seemingly telepathic, now the throng was hurling each other to flee.
Fear me not, you children. I attain destiny. Your planet, she chokes on nightshade, crawling down her throat, and eating all her pain. All everything. I am the fiber of you, and decayed, rotting flesh. The ground and the sky, the very night. I am the gentle scent of magnolia upon his skin. Greetings.
Wow. What a theatrical presentation that was. I love how he brought this art to life with that extra voice. in the back and forth, there was such a haunting feel to the Heartbringer there. It's like, whoa. And man, you abandoned this angel lost in mediocrity, waiting on the Savior's witness, my sinner's grin. He took the quote, but changed it just a little. But it was like I said, there's just something about that extra voice. Kind of gave me the chills. And then with lines like accents of radiant yellow flower petals around the skull, didn't lessen the gut-wrenching, blood-curling fear upon seeing his ominous opulence. This is true, because it's like you could dress him up with ribbons and bows and sunflowers, and he's still a scary-looking dude. But then, coupled with, like I said, that voice, the presentation. I've always enjoyed the stuff he shared with us, but there was something extra about the theater presentation here. I think it came out fantastic, Pee-wee. Very impressed. You turned it into an epic tale, and it is very appreciated, as are you. Thank you for supporting the show, my sweet.
I think this is brilliant. I think it's epic. I cannot tell you how brilliant I think this is. I think he took some of my quotes and turned it into one fabulous story. And his presentation was, wow. I like the idea that death is not this black robe, Sith carrying kind of person, but, you know, it's regal. And, you know, he's something that we wouldn't expect. Like, it's got an air of confidence of him, but he's not something that you would fear. He has a commanding respect. I like, as you'd imagine, Napoleon as he conquered the globe. Seeming telepathic, now the throng was hurtling. I really just found it pretty amazing and smart. I am the fiber of you decayed, rotting the flesh, the ground, the sky, the very night. I am the gentle set of magnolia upon his skin. Greetings. It's very ominous, very dark, and Pee-wee's got dark down very, very well. I hope he wins this contest. I really do. I hope he gets gold for it.
Yeah, he did do a spectacular job. I second that emotion. And I think I'm going to take this one over to Silk. What do you think, Silk?
Yeah, I dug the presentation of this as well. I mean, the way he started it out was like kind of like the start of an epic movie or epic story, you know, like the almost like the Star Wars, like long, long ago or something like that. And then I like how he just went right from in there to the voice booming from the belly of Harbinger, sent always ahead to scout out the plan, next planet suitable for eradication, target. Skies turned ominous. He raised his hand, and then when he came down here to this other one, I liked the Rider of Doom, death, demise isn't as you'd expect. That stanza too, I really dug, and yeah, just he had really good presentation of the whole thing. I really dug it.
Awesome comment. Appreciate it. Okay, we have two more to go. So if everyone would click on Gerald's poem, I'll play that one next. And here we go.
The Manse, written and read by Gerald Green. I'm stricken, enamored and breathless, while still at a distance, I see her blossoms, defying description, an opulence beckoning me. The scene makes me change my direction, postpones an appointment with fate. Approaching, I look in amazement and hurry, cannot hesitate. She hints a religious demeanor, with arches and thick wooden door. Can one venture close to befriend her and stand on her bright marble floor? Her walls are of stone and strong mortar. All windows are covered with shades. She stands a formidable fortress, resisting all suitors' crusades. I reach out and tap on a window to see if she'll come talk with me. The door will allow no admittance without the exclusive brass key. There's nothing but silence and sadness. No music or voice can be heard. But love is not easily shaken. It lives for a signal, a word. End poem.
Awesome read. You've been missed. It was really good to hear your voice. And wow, the scene makes me change my direction, postpones an appointment with fate. Approaching, I look in amazement and hurry, cannot hesitate. She hints at religious demeanor with arches and thick wooden door. Can one venture close to befriend her and stand on her bright marble floor? His rhyme pattern and his cadence in this was excellent. Towards the end there, actually it is, it's the last stanza, there's nothing but silence and sadness. No music or voice can be heard, but love is not easily shaken. It lives for a signal, a word. He wrote, love is the path to heaven's doorway. Trust is a lover's bountiful bouquet. I thought that was really, really cool, my sweet. And excellent, right? Like I said, there's something a little extra about their rhyme and the flow and the cadence this time and the details. And can't say it enough. I'm really glad you're back. We missed your voice. Thank you, Gerald. What you think, sweet?
You know, I had to go back and actually read the poem, A Lover's Bountiful Bouquet, because I don't remember writing it. I didn't remember writing it. And when I read it, I went, I wrote that? Wow, that's crazy. He personalized it and made it, you know, mean more than what I realized. And then when I reread it, and I don't often say a whole lot about my poetry, but that poem was written in a time when second chances needed to be given. And love is a strange thing. And when you love without honor or without trust, you don't love at all. And that's why trust is a lover's bountiful bouquet. And it just took me back a minute and had me refocus on things that are going on now and what I had to let go and where I need to let go. So what he wrote was very, very powerful and very meaningful to me. So I just want to thank him for that, because it's something I forgot I wrote and why I wrote it and the meaning behind it. And he just brought it all to the forefront, which is a meaning to me and special to me, which most people wouldn't understand anyway.
Wow. Even more awesome. And what a great comment. Linda, what you think?
Well, I thought it was beautiful. You know, the door to heaven is a beautiful thing, and we all want to go there. Well, I don't know if we all want to go there, but let me get back to the poem. I see in this, from his words, that He's come upon heaven and is curious about what's inside. And I guess we'll never know until we get there is the part about heaven. You have to get there to be, you know, to come in. And I love how he writes about the beauty of heaven and the quietness of it. That's the thing that got me is this poem is quiet and it's soothing. And I loved how he wrote this. Gerald, you're amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. Let me get one more from Silk.
Yeah, I really dug this, and the his read was fantastic. I was almost mesmerized by it. I lost my internet for a minute, so I'm trying to go back through the poem and quickly read it so I can give a better comment. I heard the recording, and I thought he had a perfect reading voice here. I was really intrigued by it. But oh, here it is. She hints a religious demeanor with arches and thick wooden doors. Can one venture close to befriend her and stand on her bright marble floor? I really dug that stanza in particular because I thought it had a great rhyme to it. Flowed perfectly to me, but it also, I don't know, it just had so many images there. I really, really dug the whole piece, though.
Great comment. Thank you very much. And if you look right above Phil's link, I added the art that he wrote to, and the quote that he wrote to is, "It ain't dirty, but it ain't clean," by Sweet Pea. So here comes the poem by Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Dr. Beak of Old London Town. Walking down the dank alleyways of Old London Town, squelching through the mud caked in crimson brown. Dr. Beak surveys the carnage through unblinking eyes. The mask muffles the sound of agonizing death cries. The air's filled with putrid stench of a killer plague. Children in horror watch the rotten corpses decay. For Dr. Beak inhales the sweet fragrance of lavender, mixed with the hint of roses, carnations, and juniper. He prods a groaning soul with his infected walking cane. The poor creature convulses with excruciating pain. Dr. Beak closes his eyes and begins to inhale, wishing he was back home in a Yorkshire dale. Safely cocooned in his waxen garments, he sheds a tear, for pestilence has run havoc through England this year. No children's laughter to be heard in the street, the mournful sounds of a city that cannot sleep. In recent days, there have been sightings of Dr. Beak, making his rounds among the gullible and the weak. His costume has changed, but his motives remain the same. Watches behind glass eyes while the world becomes insane. End poem.
Wow. You know, Phil's another poet where no matter what he writes, no matter what the prompt is, he always brings it. And like the detail that he uses to bring the stories to life are impressive. The air is filled with putrid stench of a killer plague. Children in horror watch the rotten corpse decay, while Dr. Beak inhales the sweet fragrance of lavender mixed with a hint of roses, carnations, and juniper. And for some reason that struck me because during that time there were a lot of scents that would, offend. And women were known to carry little teeny bouquets that they called a nosegay, and they could put it to their face to try and drown out the scent. So for some reason, my mind went there. But back to the safely cocooned in his waxened garments, he shed the tear, for pestilence has run havoc through England this year. And you don't think about the sadness from Dr. Death. You know what I mean? There's just, so the bringing in him with a tear, I thought was a nice touch there. His costume has changed, but his motives remain the same. He watches behind glass eyes while the world becomes insane. So it's like a gripping storyline that he's given this art, along with Sweet's "It Ain't Dirty But It Ain't Clean" quote. So, you know, I think that he nailed the prompt, but then he always does. I have to say, we hang with some spectacular poets, present company included. And, Phil, I hope you realize the fans that you have. Fabulous job, my sweet.
Well, you know, Phil's one of my favorite poets, and this poem is one of the many reasons why. The imagery, the storytelling, the edge of your pants, kind of what's the next line, what's the next line, what's the next line, and the kind of lace of actual history, you know, where you know that that pain and that suffering actually happened. So you have that tinge of, oh, my God, what must it have been like? What was that? And, you know, you just don't know. And you know, and yet you're trying to imagine, but your mind can't comprehend that. You know, he's talking about the plague, and we just went through, believe it or not, a plague that killed millions of people, and we never had any of that in this great modern technology that we have. You know, and it's crazy to think that. But these people went through that plague, but and without what we have, the ability to sanitize and clean and whitewash it all. And we were able to do that through this last plague. And I just, his imagery just brings that to life for me, and I can contrast what they had to go through and what we had to go through. And it's really odd to have to look at both. And I think he did a brilliant job at bringing all that forward, because it ain't dirty, but it ain't clean.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, are you there? You want to comment for Phil?
Yeah, this is very, very good. And you're right. Phil doesn't let us down. You stated the part I highlighted. The air is filled with the putrid sense of a killer plague. The part about the women carried what was it called? To
bubonic?
What they carried around to smell so they could.
Oh, the nosegay.
Hmm.
Is that what you meant?
I guess that was very common. Basically, everybody took a bath once a week. It must have been a terrible time. No windows. It held the sweet fragrance of lavender. And the most putrid stink of it all was the deep purple, the royal purple. And so it stunk the worst. Good job, Phil.
And one more. Linda, please.
Phil. Man, he nailed it. And he nailed this one. What a storyline. And let me get back to that. He's... he's got this beautiful rhyme going on, and in some of his verses, I'm just, you know, when he writes about something, he writes about it well, and the soul of this poem is very intense, and it speaks of decay and death in a kind of a sweet way. But I really liked it, Phil. You're an amazing, amazing poet. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. And if you guys take a look on the board next Monday as we continue on the series that's being inspired by our fellow poets, next week the words of inspiration are coming from A.P. Taylor, and the art, I believe, is a variety of art from Fine Arts America. A little bit of this or a little bit of that, and quite a few things that I try to match up with the poet we're featuring, some of the things they like, as well as some of the things that would pull together with the quote. So check them out and choose your favorite art. Mm-hmm. Write your name, comment line. And before I close out my suite, is there anything you wanted to say, Doll?
I am truly honored and truly amazed and wowed in all of these adjectives that could roll off my tongue for the next half hour, that some simple phrases I put in poetry turned out to be a wonderful night of poetry, and the crazy ways these people can put this together, and it was beautiful and spectacular and horrid and sexy and all everything that it was tonight. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you putting it together, and I appreciate everybody that wrote a poem. Absolutely everyone.
And thank you, Sweet, for the amazing words that inspired us all. Some incredible poems came about because of some words you wrote. So keep them coming. Yeah. And I would also like to say thank you to the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation for supporting the group. I want to say thank you to the amazing best board members at ever, A.P. and Hatter and Sweet Pea. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Pee-wee and Sky and Jenny and JCA and Wayne and Gerald and Phil and Titus and Linda and Raconteur and Silk. You all are totally incredible. It's an honor to get to hang out with you all the time. You dazzled us with your brilliance. I hope that you all know how much all of us appreciate you when you support our shows. They wouldn't be anything without all of you. And my sweet, I hope you felt the love. And appreciate you, love you, and send out love and respect for everyone. And I think what we will do, since Hatter gave us just a little bit of a teaser in the beginning, I think we'll go out with a little bit of Tommy Rowe as he shares a little bit of love for our sweet pea. Love and respect, everyone.
Oh, sweet pea.
Good night, everybody. Love ya.
Good night, everybody. Good night, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for the inspiration, Sweet Pea. Thank you, everyone. Love and respect. Night, Hatter.
Love and respect, Deb.
Good night, everyone. Let's love.